Turn to Proverbs chapter 4, please, and we're going to just start here, and then we'll go to some other places. Proverbs chapter 4, let's review our key passage for this series on the path of God's will. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. This text that we are working on together tells us that there are only two paths in life to choose from, either the way of the wicked or the path of the just. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." Okay, so you have those two roads to choose from. And the one that represents God's will for your life would be the path of the just. And here's what we've learned so far about this path of God's will. Whoops, I hit the wrong button. There we go. The path of God's will is a path away from the darkness of sin and sinners, and away from the error, ignorance, and foolish thinking. It's also a path illuminated by parental instruction, God's word, God's personal presence, personal integrity, and godly counsel. That's our outline for this whole series. And we're getting back into this first point tonight. How to walk in the path of God's will, walk away from the darkness of sin and sinners. Walk away from the darkness of sin and sinners. And why don't you go ahead and turn your Bible to the book of 1 John now. Just flip over to 1 John. We'll get there in a few minutes. Chapter number 3. But here is our key verse for this part of the study. Proverbs 16:17 says, "The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul." So righteous people make a beeline away from evil. They get on a super highway that leads them away from sin and sinners because they have a zeal to get away from evil as fast as they can. That's the desire that God puts in the heart of a born-again Christian. That's the desire that we should cultivate with the help of God in our lives. That we would allow God to teach us to love Him and to hate sin. And if we hate sin, we're going to want to get away from sin. Last time we talked about getting away from the darkness of sin. But now to finish up that point, we also need to talk about departing from the darkness of sinners. How to walk in the path of God's will? Depart, walk away from the darkness of sinners. If you're going to stay away from sin, you'll have to stay away from sinners as well, because sinners will lead us into sin. They go together. Now, let me just make sure I explain something as I get into this message tonight. When I talk about walking away from sinners, I am not talking about having no contact at all with unbelievers. There are many ways in which God will call us to have contact with unbelievers in this world. That's one reason He's left us in the world, so that we can have a witness to this world, so that we can salt the earth, so that we can be the light in the world and allow our good works to be revealed and attract people to the beauty and the savor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God has left us in this world, and He expects us to have contact with unbelievers. But what we're talking about specifically, as we discussed before, is we're talking about staying away from sinners as our companions and our counselors on the road of life. Okay, so those two relationships are the ones we're particularly concerned about. Sinners as our companions and our counselors on the road of life. Folks, it is so important that we choose the right companions and counselors, because they will make all the difference as to where we end up, whether we end up at the perfect day of God's will for our lives, or if we end up on some other dark, dead end of a road somewhere far away from the will and the blessing of God. Let me show that to you in the scripture. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." All right, so we have only two options as far as our companions and our counselors are concerned. We can either walk with wise people or we can walk with foolish people. And remember, when the book of Proverbs talks about fools, foolish people, It's not talking about silly people. It's not talking about flippant, lighthearted people. No, it's talking about people who are living in the foolishness of rebellion and sin, rejecting the way and the will of God. That's the kind of foolishness that we're talking about here. Okay, so what are wise people? Well, wise people are people who are living the truth. Wise people are people who are internalizing the truths of God's Word, making that a part of their lives, and then living in the light of what God has said. That's how we walk in the path of His will. All right, so you can either make your companions wise people who are living the truth and walking in the light of God, or your companions and your counselors can be fools, can be rebels, can be people who are sinners, who are ungodly people, who are not living for God, in fact, who are running in the opposite direction. In either case, the character of your companions will rub off on you. All right, so if you are walking with wise people, their wisdom will rub off on you. On the other hand, if you are walking with fools, if you are hanging around with ungodly people, people who are not listening to the truth, then you will suffer the same fate that they will suffer. You know, it's kind of like, if you were to hang out in a room full of people that were sick with COVID, you know. COVID's pretty contagious, right? And so if you're, let's just say that you packed into an elevator with 20 people who were all had a full-blown case of COVID. That sounds like a pretty horrible experience, doesn't it? And there might be a good chance if you hung out on that elevator long enough, you know, rode to the 100th floor or something, and I don't know, but there might be a good chance that you would end up with that sickness, because there are, you know, sicknesses are contagious, and you can be that you can pass them one to another. I'm just trying to say that there are contagious things in this world, and the same thing is true with wisdom and foolishness. They are contagious as well. And so the right choice is to walk with the wise on the path of life and to refuse to take up with the foolish and the wicked. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10 says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." So if sinners invite you to join up with them as they run to sin, the right response is to say no. No way, I'm not going to hang out with you. I'm not going to follow your leadership. I'm not going to go with you to your sinful activities and pastimes. Instead, when sinners entice you, and by the way, that word entice has the idea of temptation. It has the idea that they are trying to lure you into a place of danger. Now, so if ungodly people, sinners, are trying to entice you to go with them to sin, they're trying to lure you into sin, they're trying to lay some kind of a temptation before you, then what you should do is you should get on that super highway of righteousness that we talked about a moment ago, and you should put the pedal to the metal in the opposite direction and get away from the darkness of sinners. So now I would like you to turn your Bible. I had you to turn to 1 John. That was just a little bit premature, I have to confess. So hold your place in 1 John and go with me to Proverbs chapter 2, okay? We will come back here to 1 John, but let's go to Proverbs chapter 2 first. Proverbs chapter 2, because I want to look at a little bit longer passage here about getting away from the darkness of sinners. Proverbs chapter number 2, and we're going to start reading at verse number 10. Now, wisdom, this wisdom that we're about to read is from God. God is the giver of wisdom. And so what we're about to read here in this passage is what God is teaching us to do. So let's start reading at verse number 10, and let's read to verse number 15. It says, "When wisdom entereth into thy heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths." The word froward has the idea of devious, of perverted, of crooked, or wicked. So these are ungodly people who are walking in ungodly ways. These are people who deliberately turn aside from the path of righteousness to go in the ways of darkness. But what God says here in His Word in these verses is that if you will listen to what God says to you in the Scripture, then He will teach you to recognize those crooked people and their crooked ways so that you will not go with them. He will deliver you by giving you discernment to spot their deviousness, their deception, their depraved speaking and living. He will deliver you from the way of evil men. So let me just ask you right now, if you say that you are a word-loving Christian, that you love the Lord and you love His Word and you're seeking wisdom from God and His Word, then let me ask you, are you exercising this kind of biblical discernment in choosing your friends? You know, don't be simple, as the Scripture says. Don't be simple and uninformed. The Lord Jesus said, "By their fruits ye shall know them." You can tell what people are like by doing a fruit inspection. That's not being judgmental. That's just evaluating the fruit that are being produced in a person's life. And if a person is bringing forth evil fruit, that is not a good person for you to make into your companion or your counselor in the way of life. God's wisdom will give you the discernment that you need to do an evaluation of the people. You know, you're going to encounter lots of people in your life. There are going to be all kinds of people that come alongside, people that you cross paths with, people that could be your friends and your companions, and you're going to have to make some evaluations. Which of those people in this world am I going to bring into that close inner circle of my life as my best friends, as my closest companions, as my confidants, as those that I listen to, those that I allow to influence me in the decisions that I am making? And if you will get into the Word of God, God will help you to evaluate those friendships. So let's keep on going in the passage, because not only will God's wisdom deliver us from the way of evil men, it also, God's wisdom will deliver us from the clutches of the strange woman. Let's look at verse number 16. It says, "To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life." Okay, so also, God says when His wisdom, going back to verse number 10, when His wisdom enters into your heart, when you begin to internalize the truths of God's Word, then God will help you and He will deliver you from this person called the strange woman. Who is that? Well, in the book of Proverbs, the strange woman represents the peril of moral temptation for young men in particular, because Proverbs is addressed to a young man. But the more general application is to the peril of moral impurity for any person, any godly person. So whether you're a man or a woman, the point is you don't want to be this kind of immoral person, and you don't want to fall victim to this kind of immoral person or the temptation to immorality or impurity. And so tonight I am making that broader application. And I want to emphasize one of the deepest, deadliest pits on the dark road of the wicked is the pit of immorality and sexual sins. And today this conduct is the rule and it is not the exception. You know, if you surround yourself with unbelievers as your companions and your counselors, you will be, it's not a maybe, you will be surrounding yourself with people who are practicing immorality. That is the world in which we are living today. And wisdom says, stay away from those impure influencers. Make sure you're not in a situation where you will feel the pressure to follow their lead, to imitate their behaviors, for their impurity to contaminate you. Just like Lot had a choice, you know, he didn't have to go down and live in Sodom. Now, in a way, in the world in which we live today, the whole world is Sodom. So in a way, we don't have a choice about living in Sodom. But if we have a choice, we should not immerse ourselves in the world of Sodom if we don't have to. Because these sins of impurity and immorality bring down many people, and believers are not exempt from these temptations. So it's not surprising that the book of Proverbs warns us. It spends a lot of time warning us to stay away from the danger of the strange woman. We're going to look at a couple of those warnings in just a minute. But first of all, let's take a look here at verse number 20. Verse 20 says, if we will get our wisdom from God's word, God will teach us to recognize these dangers and exercise good discernment about the character of other people so we can stay far away from the people who would lead us into the dangers of moral impurity. So look at verse number 20. Verse number 20. Instead of falling into the path of evil men, instead of falling into the way of the strange woman, the wisdom of God, verse 20, it says, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. So the path of God's will in His word is a good path. It is in good company of good people. That's talking about righteous, godly people. And so if you want to arrive at the perfect destination of the perfect day of God's perfect will for your life, if you want to do God's will for your life, if you want to experience God's greatest blessings on your life, then seek out the companionship and the counsel of other people who are walking on that same road. Learn to love godly people and make them your closest friends. And by the way, if you're a born-again believer, if the Spirit of God lives within you, God's Spirit of wisdom, then He's going to be teaching you to love the company of the righteous. He will create in your heart a love for the brethren and a desire to be around godly people and to desire the friendship and the fellowship of the family of God. So now let's go back to 1 John, because 1 John tells us this is one of the evidences of genuine salvation. We talked about this a little bit in my Wednesday night class about salvation, the doctrine of soteriology. But look at chapter number 3 and verse number 10. What does it say? It says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Take a look at chapter 3 and verse number 14. It says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And then take a moment, go over to chapter number 4. Take a look at verse number 20. Verse number 20 of chapter 4 says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? God is, you know, you talk about loving God. That is far more abstract and subjective than loving another person in the body of Christ. So if you say, I love God, but you don't love your brother, you are self-deceived. The concepts of loving and hating in these verses are not just strong emotions, they are a choice. Agape love is always a choice that leads to specific actions. And not just in word, but in deed and truth. You know, how are we supposed to love? In deed and truth. So agape love is a choice to commit to someone, invest in that person, and give of yourself sacrificially to that person. But hate is the other side of that choice. Hate is the choice to turn your back on someone or something, to walk away because you have placed your love somewhere else. So in that sense, hate can be the other side of the coin of love. For example, Jesus said in Luke chapter 14 and verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. What did Jesus mean by that? That you have to have an active antipathy to the members of your family in order to be a disciple of Jesus, and even have an active antipathy towards yourself? No, that's not what he meant. He meant that you have to be willing to turn your back on your family if need be. And yes, you even have to turn your back on your own wishes, your own desires to follow Jesus Christ. It may be there are people that get saved and their family members do not want them to be saved. They have no interest in them being saved. They threaten to disown them if they become a Christian, if they get baptized, if they follow Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus said, you know what? If you're going to love me, you'll have to be willing to turn your back upon your family. No, you don't hate those people, but they may feel like you hate them. They may think that you're treating them hatefully because you're loving someone else more, the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the context of 1 John here, hating your brother means turning your back on your brother, walking away from that brother and from his needs because you're in love with yourself and the world, just like Demas. I talked about him in my message this morning. Just like he did to the Apostle Paul, he walked away from Paul. In that sense, he hated Paul because he loved the world. All right, but then loving your brother means turning your back on yourself and on this world so that you can commit yourself to God's people. And that is what the wisdom of God's Word teaches us to do. That is what His Holy Spirit teaches us as well. He teaches us to walk away from the wicked, from the ungodly, so we can walk with the just, with the people of God. So I always get concerned when somebody claims to be a Christian but seems more interested in spending time with worldly people and a wicked crowd than with good friends and a godly crowd. That is always a concern. It's a concern when somebody who professes to be saved seems to be much more at home in a worldly environment than in a spiritual environment. I'm always concerned when it seems like pulling teeth to get a person into church. Those are signs of a spiritual problem. You know, it's pretty hard to seriously claim that you love somebody, that you're committed to someone, if you don't want to invest in that person, if you don't want to give to that person, if you don't want to meet the needs of that person, if you don't want to spend time with that person, if you're never even around that person. You know, if I never wanted to be at home with my family, if I was always gone, you know, and you know, just say, oh, sure, I wish I was there. But if I was never there, it could be that my family might start wondering at a certain point if I really love them, and justifiably so. So let me ask you this question. Do you prefer the company of wicked worldly people to good godly people? Which crowd is really your crowd? And it cannot be a both and, okay? It's an either or. So which path are you on? Which direction are you heading in life? So this brings me now to a couple of important applications about knowing God's will. I'm giving you a series of principles about knowing God's will. So now that we've laid this foundation, here is principle number 5 of knowing God's will. You want to say, yes, I want to know God's will for my life. All right, so here's principle number 5. God's will, both now and later, is to choose godly friends. God's will, both now and later, is to choose godly friends. If God's wisdom in His Word teaches us to stay away from ungodly, evil people and to walk with godly, wise people, then obviously that is God's will for every wise believer. So again, this is one of the basics. You say, you know, Pastor, I'm kind of wanting to get on to some of the more advanced principles of knowing God's will. We got to cover the basics first. This is one of the basics here. If we want to enjoy those blessings of righteousness later, then we have to make righteous choices now, in the present. We have to do what we know God wants us to do in the here and now. He wants us to choose godly friends. So I want to encourage you tonight to evaluate your current friendships. Can you think of any friend of whom you would have to say, you know, that person is really not having a good influence in my life? I mean, the truth of the matter is, that person is not building me up, that person is bringing me down. You know, I want to do right, but when I'm around that person, The influence goes the other way. I start following their lead. I start hiding my light under a bushel in order to blend in. I start making bad choices. I try to meet their ungodly expectations. And maybe you're even aware tonight of some specific temptations to sin that ungodly influencer in your life has put in front of you. That person may be encouraging you to sin with him or with her. If so, then you need to do something about that friendship. You probably need to bring an end to that friendship, to that relationship. Get away from that person. At the very least, you probably need to get some counsel, some godly counsel about how to proceed with that if it's a difficult or complicated situation. But if you're a young person and you have that kind of a friend who is not godly, a friend who is leading you in the wrong direction, a friend who is not building you up but is bringing you down, then you probably need to talk to your parents about the pressures that you're facing. You need to have just open up to your mom and dad. Let them know. Maybe you should talk to your youth pastor or your youth pastor's wife about the difficulty that you're having and get their help with that situation. If you're a parent concerned about your child's friends. You know, sometimes parents, they feel like, well, you know, maybe I should interfere. Maybe I just need to let my kids kind of, figure these things out for themselves and learn in the school of hard knocks. No. If your child was about to pick up a bottle of poison and drink it, would you say that? You know, well, I guess my child's just going to have to learn in the school of hard knocks, you know. That's not good for him to drink. No, you wouldn't do that. And I showed you just a moment ago, a companion of fools shall be what? Destroyed. So there's times as mom and dad where we have to weigh in and say, no, that person cannot be your friend. That person cannot be your companion. That is not a healthy relationship, a healthy friendship. That needs to come to an end because that person is leading you down the way of darkness and sin that leads to death. No, we're not going that way. If you're recently saved, you know you'll have to evaluate your former friendships because your friendships change when you get saved. And I'm not saying that you're going to turn your back on those people or be unfriendly to those people. No. But you can't go along with them to sin anymore either. There is a change in that relationship. At the very least, you'll have to restructure that friendship away from close companionship and toward a relationship that is more focused on witnessing and introducing that person to Jesus Christ. Because God's word is clear, okay? Ungodly sinners should not be our closest companions and counselors on the road of life. If you want to walk in the path of God's will, then you must walk away from the darkness of sinners. Principle number 6 of knowing God's will. Here you go. Principle number 6, very practical. If you want to know God's will, commit to loving God's people in your local church. Commit to loving God's people in your local church. First of all, commit yourself to loving Christ. Okay, that's where you should start. Commit yourself to loving the Lord, and because you love Christ, then commit yourself to stay in church and to love God's people in the church. Because that's where righteous people are to be found. That's how you get into the closest association with the right kind of people who will be your godly companions and your godly counselors on the road that leads to life. The path of the just is a path that is populated with just, righteous, godly, wise people. So you need to go where those people are to be found, and you need to stay there, and you need to immerse yourself in those relationships and make it your business to love the brethren. God's perfect will is not going to be found by you dropping out of church, staying away from church, skipping church, being hit and miss at church. It's going to be found by you cementing yourself into your local church and investing yourself into the body of Christ. It's going to be found by keeping your church family at the center of your social life, your social interactions, and your service. Again, this is one of the basics. And if God leads you to move away from your church, maybe you're going off to college, maybe you're moving out of town, you're going away for some other reason, then the first thing you should do is you should cement yourself into a good local church in that new place, because the local church was designed by the Lord Jesus Christ for believers, and it is the will of Christ for every believer. It's a place where the light of truth shines bright. A place where the light of God can shine upon the path of your life to show you God's will. It's a place where the love of God abounds. So if you want to walk in that light that shineth more and more into the perfect day, walk in the light and love of your local church, in the company of the godly, and under the leadership of the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you say you're following the shepherd, if you say you're a sheep and you're following the shepherd, then you're going to follow him right into church, because that's where he goes when the doors are open. Say, how do you know that? Because where two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus said, there am I in the midst of them. So if you're following the Lord, you're going to follow him right into church. Now, I have a third principle of knowing God's will that I want to share with you tonight. But first of all, we need to take a look at a couple more passages here that warn us about the strange woman and the importance of walking away from sins of impurity and those who would tempt us to participate in such sins. So, Proverbs chapter number 5, verses 5 through 8 says about the strange woman, her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Okay, so one good reason to get away from the strange woman, again, representing here tonight, in general, the temptations to the sins of impurity and immorality that surround us in a wicked world. One reason to get away from the strange woman is because her path is a path to hell. The Bible says fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. An immoral lifestyle is a hell-bound lifestyle. Not only that, but her ways are movable. The word movable means wandering, shifting, or shifty. So that means that she has creative in her approach. She is persistent in her pursuit. She will pop up when you least expect it, when you're just minding your own business. Let me just say, by way of application tonight, she will pop up on your computer screen, on your phone, on your tablet, in your mailbox, on your TV screen, when you least expect it. Folks, it is happening all the time. There are lots of strange women in the virtual world of the internet and TV and movies and media, and that's why godly people need to go to great lengths to protect themselves from her approach. Don't ever assume that you will never encounter the strange woman. Don't assume that you're strong enough to handle her approach. Whether it is in virtual reality or in real life, Satan is very good at throwing women at men and men at women to bring them down. So follow the practical wisdom of Proverbs here. Keep your guard up and make sure you stay far away. Remove your way far from her, it says. Don't go anywhere that she might show up. Take the long way around if need be. Don't go near her neighborhood and get away from her as fast as you can, and stay away. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 27 and 28 says, for a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. Folks, some of the deepest ditch and the most dangerous pits on the dark way of the wicked. Remember, it's a way where they stumble. They know not at what they stumble. Some of those things that are stumbling the ungodly on that dark road are sins of moral impurity. And again, the strange woman seeks to prey upon unsuspecting victims. She stalks them and attacks them when they are least prepared, when they are least expecting it. And so here are some things that we need to do. If we are believers that are serious about personal purity and protecting ourselves, here are some things that we should do. Proverbs chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. It says, "Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways." Decline means to be inclined to go in her ways. "Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death." And truly, many strong men today, older men, younger men, are being destroyed by the strange woman, specifically through pornography. That's why every godly man needs to take steps to protect himself. And when he's online, he needs to make good use of filters, accountability, tools, and so forth. Every godly parent needs to insist that any device in their children's hands is properly protected by a strong filter and other means of accountability. Did you hear what I said? Every child, if you're putting an internet-connected device into the hands of your child, you are responsible. You could be putting a tool in their hands that would send them to hell. So you need to make sure that thing is protected, that it's used in very tightly controlled ways. Make sure that your child is not using apps on his or her device that encourage improper behavior. Apps like Snapchat. Let me just tell you, there is no reason at all your young person needs to have Snapchat on his or her device. It should be off of there in 2 milliseconds. And I can just tell you from personal experience that this has come up more than once, and it's a whole lot better for me to give you an ounce of prevention than a pound of cure. So get those kinds of things like that off of your kid's phone. They don't have to have every social media device, every connection to all these other people, because these connections tend to be ungodly means of influence in the life of your kids. And you know, in our society, there are plenty of other roads that lead to moral impurity and sexual sin. Pits, traps, snares abound. And so what should we do? First of all, what God says to do, hearken. Okay? That means pay attention. Listen up. Take the danger seriously. And walk away from the darkness of sinners, because they're going to lead you into sin. Stay on the highway stay away from the highway that leads to hell. Depart from the way of evil and go on the way that leads to life and the light of God. In 1979, the rock band AC/DC released a hit single, "Highway to Hell." They're pretty open about it. Let me just read you a few excerpts. "Living easy, living free, season ticket on a one-way ride, asking nothing, leave me be, taking everything in my stride, don't need reason, don't need rhyme, ain't nothing I would rather do, going down, party time. My friends are gonna be there too, I'm on the highway to hell, on the highway to hell. No stop signs, speed limit, nobody's going to slow me down like a wheel, going to spin it, nobody's going to mess me around. Hey, Satan, paid my dues, playing in a rocking band. Hey, mama, look at me, I'm on my way to the promised land. Woo, I'm on the highway to hell, highway to hell, don't stop me. And I'm going down all the way, whoa, I'm on the highway to hell." I understand that 6 months later, Bon Scott, who is the band's lead singer, was found dead in the back of a friend's car. Don't know the condition of his soul, but in the song, he said he knew where he was going. You know, there's quite a bit of Bible truth in this song. There is a real highway to hell, and it will take you all the way down. That's what we just read here in Proverbs chapter 7. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. And your friends on that road are likely to be in the same place. They'll reach the same destination as you. You'll find the strange woman on that road for sure. One thing that's not true about this song is there's no party time in hell. The Bible says it's a place of outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Another thing that's not true about this song is that there are no stop signs. No, there are some stop signs. As a matter of fact, tonight God's put up a stop sign in the Word. He said, hey, don't go that way. You don't have to go that way. Stop right now. You don't have to go down that highway to hell. You can make some different choices, and you should make those different choices. Walk away from the darkness of sinners and walk in the light and the will of God. So one final application here tonight, number 7, principle knowing of knowing God's will. Principle number 7, if you want to experience God's perfect will for your life, keep yourself morally pure. Keep yourself morally pure. Don't even get started down the road of impurity in any way. In a world that says purity isn't important, in a world that says being physically involved before marriage is the end thing, that's the normal thing, the natural thing, it's just a given, do not buy into that thinking for one second. Remember what Ephesians chapter 5 says. It says, let not fornication be once named among you as becometh saints. And it also says, let no man deceive you with vain words, like everybody's doing it, like it's the normal, the end, the natural thing. Those are vain, empty words. Why? Don't be deceived. Why? Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not partakers with them. Folks, God's way is still and always the best way. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers or fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And we've seen tonight how God judges them. He judges them by allowing them to travel down a path of self-destruction leading to eventual eternal destruction in hell. Now, if you've been impure in the past, God's will for you is to be pure in the future. And He still has a beautiful plan for your life. Walking in the light, and He can and He still will bring great blessings into your life if you're walking with God in His will, but you must get away from the old sins and the people who might bring you down, and you need to stay in the path of the just. So before I close, here are a few principles of purity for Christian young people. I preached these not too long ago in my series on the family, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them tonight, but just let me give these to you since we're on this topic. 3 principles of purity. Number 1, treat members of the opposite sex as brothers and sisters. 1 Timothy 2 says, with all purity. 1 Timothy 5:22 says, keep thyself pure. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee youthful lusts. Number 2, date only to find your life's mate. You know, the world, when I use the word date, by the way, I never use the word dating in the worldly sense, okay, of playing the field and all that kind of stuff. I'm just using it in the general sense of finding, the process of finding a spouse, okay? So date only to find your life's mate. And that means, as a corollary to that, that you really shouldn't be dating until you're seriously ready to consider getting married. I mean, if you're in the 5th grade, you're not ready to get married, so you're probably not ready to start looking for your mate yet, okay? And so you probably shouldn't be dating in the 5th grade, all right? So that's just common sense, all right? Just a logical conclusion. And then number 3, while you're dating, maintain high standards of accountability. I always love it when a couple comes to me and they say, Pastor, you know, we're dating and we want to do things right, and so we're trying to set up some principles that are going to guide us in our relationship, some procedures that we want to follow. And we've talked to our parents. We'd like to talk to you about that. You know, that shows that couple is really trying to honor God by maintaining a pure relationship until marriage. That's the way to do it right. That's the way to do it right. Have some high standards of accountability and save all romantic expressions of affection for after marriage. I could spend a lot of time on that. I have a whole series about dating and all that. I'm not going to get into it in great detail tonight. But let me just say this. After you're married, you will never regret that you did not engage in more physical contact with your spouse before you were married. But you could find yourself in any number of scenarios where you had regret that you had engaged in too much physical contact too soon. All right, so I've just given you there some principles of wisdom. These are some good ways to depart from evil and preserve your soul in the path of God's will. All right, so here's our key verse again. Say, I want to do the will of God for my life. I want to know God's perfect plan. Depart from the darkness of sinners. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his own soul. Would you bow your heads with me, please? In a moment, we're going to close tonight with number 485, I Would Be True. But as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to ask you some questions by way of application. Question number one, are you choosing the right friends? Are you choosing the right friends? Do you have some friendships that need to be reevaluated because that friend is bringing you down spiritually? That friend is leading you towards sin. You know, maybe you need to make the break to get away from that person. And it may not be easy, especially if you're romantically attached to that person, or if you've already been physically impure with that person, then that's going to make it even more difficult to break free. But you may need some help, but you know what you need to do. Will you say yes to the will of God? Question number two, are you committing yourself fully to God's family in the local church? Are you faithful, serving, seeking to meet the needs of others, loving people by caring for them, investing in them? And then number three, are you keeping yourself pure? You know, if you haven't been pure, then it's time to get back on the path of the just. And there is always forgiveness and cleansing available from God. Maybe what you need to do tonight is you need to decide, I'm going to stay pure by God, with God's help. I'm not going to follow the wisdom of the world. I'm going to make some specific decisions to do things right, do things God's way. Maybe there's some moms and dads here tonight who need to prayerfully cry out to God on behalf of their children. Say, Lord, help me, I pray, to properly guide my children in the paths of purity and righteousness and godliness. Let's allow the Lord to do His full work in our lives tonight through His Word. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would take the Scriptures tonight. I know we've talked about some difficult topics, but Father, these are some necessary topics. Because sadly, the truth is, the devil's having a field day with many people in these temptations of sin. And Lord, our culture is become like Sodom and Gomorrah, but we didn't get here overnight. It was one small step of impurity after another. Small sins tolerated and excused and leading to bigger sins and greater corruption and impurity. And here we are. And Father, I pray that You would help us as believers to swim upstream from that strong current by Your grace. Give us the power to live pure lives in an ungodly, impure age. I pray that You would preserve and protect the young people of this church from the temptations of represented by ungodly friends, ungodly companions and influencers who would lead them astray. Father, I pray that You would deliver us and protect us from the temptations of the strange woman online and on the internet and in media. And Lord, help us to make breaks as necessary and to protect ourselves and erect the strong walls of protection that are necessary to stay away from those temptations. Father, we pray that You would do a work tonight in our hearts and lives, however it needs to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand with